as well. So I'm going to ask us just to stand to our feet for a quick moment as we read from God's word. I know we've been standing for a moment, so I appreciate us standing just to honor God's word for a few moments again. But in the book of Luke chapter 1, verse 46 through 56 is what we're going to spend some time in today. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 46 and going down to verse 56, but just for the sake of starting, giving us a starting point, I'm just going to read a few verses, 46 through 49. Luke chapter 1. If you dare say amen, if you dare say I got it, here's what it says. And Mary said, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor, everybody say favor, on this humble, on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed. Everybody say blessed. Because the mighty one has done great things for me, and his name is holy. Verse 46, I want to read that one more time. And Mary said, my soul praises the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. So I'm calling today's message here from the book of Luke chapter 1 as we continue on in our Christmas series of messages. I'm calling today's message a song for a strange season. Song for a strange season. I want you to find somebody in the room and online, wherever you are, and I just want you to ask them, do you got a song to sing? You got a song to sing. Amen. Father, we thank you for your presence and power. We thank you, God, for who you are, for all you have done. I pray in these moments that you would speak to us. Would you give us a word of encouragement? Would you refresh us? Would you renew us? I pray, God, that you would open up our eyes, that we would see you in a way that we've never seen you before. In Jesus' name, and everyone said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Song for a strange season. Amen. Well, family, before we get into the message, or as we get into the message, if you haven't already, I want you to click the share button on Facebook and get it going, so that way others can come to know Jesus as well. A song for a strange season. Now, church family, check this out. The season of Christmas, everybody say Christmas, is filled with many things. Chief among them are songs. Songs. And the thing I love about this Christmas season is that in the midst of all the things that are happening, you see the Christmas trees, you see the gifts, you see Christmas movies. One of the things that marks this Christmas season, what is so special about it, is the songs that are being sung this season. Songs like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Some of y'all know that song. How many of y'all know that song? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I would ask us to sing it, but I'll keep it moving. Songs like Oh Come All Ye Faithful. Songs like This Christmas. But there is a song, family, if I could be honest with you, that when I hear it, I'm like, yo, this signifies that Christmas is here. And the name of the song, believe it or not, is The Christmas Song by Nat King Cole. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? I don't know if we got it or not. I think we were trying to cue it up, but we've been having some issues today, so I'm not sure if we got it or not. But I love the song, because as soon as you hear the song open up, you hear the violins playing, and then all of a sudden he come in there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When you hear that, I'm like, oh yeah, Christmas here. Chestnuts, y'all hear that right there? On an open, come on, how many of y'all know that song right there? Y'all know that song? I love it. Frost nipping, yeah. And what's incredible about this song is, and we can go ahead and cut it. That's good right there. We got it. When you hear that song, it just puts you in like a vibe. Like, oh man, I just got all warm and make some hot chocolate. Let me go find some gifts to wrap right quick. I ain't got no gifts. I'm gonna just go wrap something. I love that song because songs like this, I was going to play another song that really gets you in the spirit of Christmas. It's the Run DMC Christmas song. Throwback. But songs like this, they really bring about excitement, and they bring us to this place of a sense of feeling good during the holiday times. But if we could be honest, if we could be real about it, this year, though, I think it's been hard to enjoy these songs the way that we have in previous years. Even when I heard Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song, I got excited, but I felt myself at the same time still feeling some bit of residue from everything that's happened this year, so I wasn't able to fully enjoy it. Because when we begin to think about the hardships that we face, it kind of begins to encroach upon some of the feelings, if you will, of happiness, maybe even joy, if you will, that we experience as a result of hearing these songs. The grief that we're dealing with, the anxiety that we're filled with. 2020 itself has been a year that has, if I can say it like this, it has hit differently. And even Christmas may feel different than this time last year. And if we could be real, fam, I think it's hard for us this year to sing these songs without feeling some bit of discomfort because of the year that we have faced. But I want you to know that you're not alone if you feel that way. I'm not alone if I feel that way. Because the Bible actually has plenty of moments in Scripture where oftentimes it was hard for others to sing and rejoice because they were facing massive times of difficulty. Matter of fact, later on in the book of Psalms, King David was once asked to sing when things were hard for him. And while being captured in Babylon, he asked this question: how can I sing the Lord's song in a strange land? How can I sing when everything is going against me? How can I sing when everything is difficult? How can I sing when I'm in an unfamiliar place? How can I rejoice when I feel restricted? How can I celebrate when I'm being attacked? How can I have joy when facing hard times? And this itself brings us back to Mary here in Luke chapter 1. Because earlier in Luke chapter 1, you guys may remember last week we preached Mary's incident or experience and encounter, rather, that she had with an angel by the name of Gabriel, who was coming to tell her that she would now be the one to carry forth and bring forth the Messiah into the world. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one." And then he says it once again, that you have found favor with the Lord. By the end of that encounter and that experience with Gabriel, she says, "I am the Lord's servant, and may it be done as you have said so." Now she is making a beeline in the next few verses right after that moment to go to her relative Elizabeth's house. Because you know when you have something good happen to you, you got to go find somebody to tell. So she goes to her cousin, her relative's Elizabeth's house, and it's on. Can you just imagine the scene? "Girl, you ain't gonna believe what happened to me today. Girl, let me tell you. I had this angel come out of heaven. His name was Gabriel. I know you're going to think it's crazy. Girl, you want to know what he told me? That I'm going to give birth to the Messiah of the world. Can you believe that, girl?" And Elizabeth is saying, "Girl, I believe it." "Because me and my husband, Zachariah, we were told we were never going to be able to have kids in our old age. But then we found out we was pregnant too. So I know if he could do it for me, he could do it for you too." And they had this conversation for the next few verses where Elizabeth is just speaking over Mary and excited for Mary. And I love the fact that God will send people in our lives who won't be jealous and be threatened by the great things that he's doing, but can celebrate with us. Elizabeth was celebrating with Mary. But immediately following this moment, Mary bust out in a song. Right after Gabriel has this encounter with her, right after she goes to Elizabeth, she goes and busts out in the song. But it's interesting because in the midst of this, she's still in a strange season, y'all. Household Pastor Edwin, her life is not unfolding the way she imagined. Her and Joseph were pledged to get married. They were engaged at the time. She had plans. He had plans. And it seemed like God had different plans. So here God steps in, tells her this good news. Could you imagine how on the surface it looks like her life has been derailed? Could you imagine on the surface how her reputation may look to others who don't know the full picture of things? That she's been unfaithful, that she's committed infidelity. She more than likely will be viewed by the average person as somebody who cheated on her soon-to-be husband. But notice following the conversation with Elizabeth and the good news that she hears from Gabriel, she sings a song of praise. That in the midst of a strange time in her life, she breaks out a number one hit. In the midst of the challenge that she is facing, the change of plans that she's experienced, Mary breaks out a song. So this could very well be the original Christmas song. Because after hearing this good news from Gabriel, and after this conversation with Mary, with Elizabeth, her relative, she comes up with this song of praise. Theologians oftentimes call this the Magnificat in Latin, which means to magnify the Lord. I don't know if you know what the word magnify means in this context, but here's what it simply means. It means to make bigger. That's all it means. And I want us to understand something powerful about something when it's magnified, or specifically if we were to take something like a magnifying glass. When you take a magnifying glass and when you examine a particular object, the size of the object has not changed if it's in your hand. The size of that rock that's in your hand is still the same size. The difference now is the magnifying glass allows you to have a perspective of the object that you are looking at in the way that you would have never seen it before. What does this have to do with what Mary is saying? When she's giving these psalms of praise and the songs of magnifying the Lord, her songs of praise to God aren't changing God's size, because we can't make God bigger. But through her song of praise, her perspective of God has gotten bigger. I'm going to say it again because I don't know if we got it. Because of her lifting up the name of God and praising God for who he is, her perspective and how she sees him has shifted. I'll say it like this, that when we magnify God, God doesn't get bigger. Our perspective of him does. So here's what the book of Psalms says in Psalm 34, verse 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. What is his name? His name is Healer. What is his name? His name is Prince of Peace. What is his name? His name is Emmanuel. What is his name? His name is the Good Shepherd. What is his name? His name is Elohim. What is his name? His name is Jehovah Jireh. What is his name? His name is Jehovah Rapha. What is his name? His name is now Jesus. The name that is above every single name. This is why during the Christmas season, we should be able to say as followers of Christ, let us magnify the name of the Lord together. Because his name is worthy of all of our praise. And when Mary has this encounter with Gabriel, this conversation with her cousin Elizabeth, she's magnifying now. And it's interesting because I want us to examine just a few things, and then we'll be done today, about Mary's song that I believe God wants us to get in this season. I know this season is strange. I know the Christmas is strange this year. I know 2020 has probably been the most strangest year in all of our lifetimes. We have seen things we never thought we would see. We've experienced things that we never thought we would experience. We've gone through things that we never thought we would go through. We've experienced loss, we've experienced grief, and this is a strange season that we are in. But in the midst of this strange season, I believe God is saying, I want you to have a song in your spirit. That just like Mary had a song in her spirit, I believe God is speaking to us today, and he's saying, I got a song I want you to sing. And there's something powerful about the song that Mary is singing here. Number one, I want you to write this down. Mary's song that I believe God wants us to get, it is number one, a declaration of God's favor. She's singing about the favor of God. Last week, we talked about favor in unfavorable situations. This week, I want to talk about not just favor in unfavorable situations, but now we move to a place where we begin to declare the favor of God over our lives, where we begin to sing about the favor of God over our lives. Notice what Mary says in verse 46. My soul praises the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. Look at what she says in verse 48. Because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. I want you to notice here what Mary's doing. In response to who God is, But now, more specifically, in response to what he has done for her, she is now singing a song declaring God's favor. We talked about what favor is last week. Favor is God extending kindness to you and I, even though we don't deserve it. Favor is God looking out for us and doing a favor for us, even though we didn't do anything to earn it. Favor is God showing love and mercy and compassion to us, even though we did nothing to earn it at all. Favor is just God saying, hey, I want to give you a gift, not because you did anything to earn it, just simply because I love you. I don't know about y'all, I want that type of favor in my life. And I believe even after preaching last Sunday, I've heard some stories of people even in our church in the past 6 to 7 days, after hearing a sermon about favor and declaring God's favor and talking about God's favor last Sunday, many of you have already experienced the favor of God this week. You've seen God open up a door. You've seen God answer a prayer. You've seen God show up. You've seen God do this. You've seen God do the unbelievable. God has shown his favor. And the arrival and the birth of Jesus is a picture of God's favor to humanity. Jesus is the fleshly manifestation of the favor of God. I'm gonna say it again because I don't know if y'all got that. Jesus, this season, we celebrate Jesus because he is the fleshly manifestation of the favor of God. Christmas is a reminder of how good God has been. Christmas is a season where we can reflect and sing about the great things that God has done for us. What great things, Pastor Edwin, has God done? He has answered my prayers. He has healed my body. Some of y'all had COVID, got healed of COVID. Some of y'all had to get tested because you came in contact with somebody who may have had it, but the report came back negative. That is God's favor. That is God's blessing. That is God looking out. When you examine the landscape of your life and begin to see how bills were beginning to pile up and resources were beginning to dwindle down, but for some strange reason, God filled the gap. And what did he fill the gap with? His favor. I think, church family, we ought to take about 10 seconds and bless God for the favor of God in our life. I think we should sing a song of thanksgiving and praise God for how good he's been, how awesome he's been, how merciful he's been, how favorable he's been. God has extended favor. And Mary is singing this song of favor. Psalm 126, verse 3 says it like this: the Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Filled with joy. This season, I know we can sing about a whole lot of things. Some of us have been, you know, singing songs of lament, and some of us have been singing songs of complaint, and it's been having a, you know, had a good tune to it too. Lord, I can't believe that you didn't do anything for me. I can't believe I had to cuss my employer out. Lord, I can't believe that this didn't happen. I can't believe that this didn't happen. And God is like, can you believe the things that I have done, though? Amen. Like, I know it's easy to focus on what's not right, but can you focus on what has been right, which has been the favor of God? And yes, everything has not gone ideal. Yes, man, there's been so many things that have not gone according to plan this year, but our God majors and stepping in things when they get out of order and inserting his favor to bring forth some order to it. This has been the season where we got to sing about his favor, y'all. We talk about his favor. As followers of Christ, for those of us who are following Jesus, for those of us who are believers, we're Christians, we believe in Jesus, we should be the most joyful people during this season. And I'm going to tell you why. Not because everything in your life is perfect. Not because you haven't experienced loss, not because you haven't gone through depression, not because you haven't experienced anxiety. You've experienced many of those things, but that's not why we should be the most joyous people on the earth right now. We should have the most joy out of everybody on earth because we have the greatest gift on earth, and that is the favor of God in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. So I might not have this, and I might not have that. This might not have worked out the way I want it, and that may not have worked out the way I want it. But the one thing that I got right now more than anything else that I will bless God for, that I will celebrate God for, is the favor of God on my life. That's what we're going to sing about. That's what we're going to rejoice about. But Mary doesn't just only sing about the favor of God. She also now, here's the second point I want you to get, This song is a song declaring and celebrating God's faithfulness. So she is celebrating God's favor on her life. She said, I'm blessed. Mary, how can you say you're blessed in a strange season? Your marriage plans just got upended. But yet you say I'm blessed because I got the favor of God. But then she don't stop there. It's almost like, I think if Mary was sitting here, she'd be like, hey, Bridge family, you know the other reason why I'm really excited, even though my whole life got turned upside down, is because of the faithfulness of God. And she spends the next six verses talking about the faithfulness of God. I want you to see how she starts in verse 50. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. Watch this. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever. Just, watch this, as he spoke to our ancestors. I want you to see the key words here from verses 51 through 55. He has done. He has scattered. He has toppled. He has satisfied. He has helped. Do you see the key words in all her phrases right here? He has. He has. He has. He has. Come on, say it with me. He has. He has. He has. And the reason why Mary can rejoice in this season is because when she begins to think about all that God has done, he has done great things for me. Not only for me. He has done great things for my ancestors. He has done great things for other people. God has been faithful. And she's declaring in a strange season all the things that God has done, but even more the faithfulness of God. What am I talking about here? Every promise that God promised, he produced. Everything that God spoke, he brought about. In the words of Chandler Moore, Maverick City Music, he has never lost a battle. And the last part of that song says, and he never will, and he never will. Some of y'all need to get that in your spirits and in your hearts right now, because some of you have been thinking, the battle that I'm facing right now, I'm going to lose it. And God is like, have I ever lost a battle? Have I ever sold you short? Have I never showed up? I may not have showed up the way that you wanted me to. I may not have answered the prayer the way that you wanted me to. But here's the thing I want you to understand. My thoughts and my ways are higher than yours. So even if I didn't do it the way that you wanted me to, it's because I have something greater in mind. The one thing that you can depend on in this season, family, is the faithfulness of God. Everything around you has changed. Life has changed. Protocols have changed. Schools have changed. Families have changed. Jobs have changed. Health has changed. But the one thing that has not changed in the midst of this season, in the midst of 2020, in the midst of this strange year that we are in, is the faithfulness of God. And that's enough reason right there to celebrate and rejoice. God, I bless your name because you've been faithful in season and out of season. God, I open up my mouth and I tell you thank you because you've been better than good every single morning, every single day, every single month, from March the 8th and the 15th of this year to now December the 20th. You have been faithful to me. That's what we celebrate. God has been faithful. And in this strange season that we're in, we're having Christmas this year, COVID style. We're not able to see our family and friends. We're not able to be in large groups the way we may want to. We're not able to go to some of the places that we would normally want to go. It's easy to see what hasn't happened this year. It's easy to see how things didn't work out. It's easy to see how the healing didn't happen. It's easy to see how the plans didn't happen. But I believe, family, if we would take a small sample size and take a moment to take our eyes off of things and see things from a godly perspective, I believe that we can see that God, as Mary says, has done great things, that he has been faithful. He has provided in spite of. He has comforted in spite of. He has healed in spite of. He has blessed in spite of. He has brought peace in spite of. He has answered a prayer in spite of. He has been with you in spite of. 2020 has been a strange year, but God has still been showing up. God has still been opening up doors. God has still been answering prayers. God has still been good. That is what we celebrate in this season. That's why we rejoice. My praise isn't based upon temporary circumstances. My praise is based on the one who does not change. My praise is not based upon how much money is in a bank account. It's easy to say that when you got a whole lot of money. Can you still say it when you don't? That's when it gets tested. Can you still declare that God is good even when your life is not? Can you still declare that God is faithful even when friends around you have become fickle? Can you still declare God knows what he's doing even though you don't? Now hear what David is saying. I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. Somebody say all times. Which means good times, bad times, high times, low times. I will bless the Lord. Here's what Psalm 136 says. Give thanks to the Lord. Why? For he is good. And his faithful love endures forever. Faithful love, it's the Hebrew word hesed. And it means this covenantal type of love. In other words, it's almost as if God is saying, no matter what happens to you, no matter what you do, no matter what you won't do, you never have to worry about me bailing on you. No matter how things look right now in your life, you never have to worry about me not being present with you. No matter what's going on in your life, you never have to worry about me not being faithful. I love what Jeremiah says in Lamentations 3. He says this, because of the Lord's faithful, everybody say faithful. Because of the Lord's faithful love, we do not perish. For his mercies never end. They are new every morning. Which means you had a new mercy this morning on your way here. Which means you had a new mercy this morning when you woke up and you turned on the British Church Online. Which means you had a new mercy when you were putting on your clothes this morning. It means that you had a new mercy when you hit that snooze button 5 times this morning. It means that you had a new mercy today. It's different than yesterday's mercy. There was new mercies yesterday. And God says, because I'm so good, I give you new mercies today too. And Jeremiah understands this. He says, every single morning there is new mercy. But then he says this, great is your faithfulness. We praise God. We sing a song in a strange season, not just because of the favor of God, but also because of the faithfulness of God. I think we should take another 10 seconds to bless God for his faithfulness, for him staying the same in season, out of season, bad seasons, good seasons. God has been faithful. Trustworthy. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. This season of Christmas may be strange, but I want you to know something, family. You still got a reason to rejoice. You still got a reason to sing. You still got a reason to praise God in this season. You still got a reason to lift up the name of Jesus. I know it's only a few of us in here today because a lot of people are staying at home at the crib, but I want us to fill this place with praise as if it was 1,000 people in this place. When you begin to think about the mercies of God, when you begin to think about the faithfulness of God, when you begin to think about the good of our God. Come on, somebody. I need y'all to help me close out this sermon. When you begin to think about all that God has done in your life, my soul cries hallelujah. He's been faithful. He's been merciful. He's been kind. He's always showed up. I want us to stand to our feet. We're going to have a special moment of worship as we prepare to end this service. But I want us to begin to celebrate in this season God's faithfulness. Mary says, he has toppled, he has scattered, he has satisfied, he has helped. And I want us to say this, because he has, I will. Because he has done, this is what I will do. Because he has provided, I will bless the Lord. Because he has comforted, I will bless the Lord. Because he has protected, I will bless the Lord. Because he has healed, I will bless the Lord. Because he has loved, I will bless the Lord. I want us to understand something, church family. We got so many reasons to bless the name of the Lord our God, but chief among them, they all could be summarized in this. He has been faithful. He has showed up. He has opened up doors. He has comforted. He has healed. I will bless the Lord. Because he has, I will. I think that's the word God wants us to get in our heart in this season. Because he has, I will. He has, I will. Because he sent his son Jesus to take my sin away, I will bless the name of the Lord. The birth of Jesus is a picture of the favor, faithfulness of God. I'll say this last thing. I want it to carry us all the way through the rest of 2020 into 2021. God's favor and faithfulness gives us a reason to sing in a strange season. The season that we're in is strange. It's been difficult. It's been hard. We've been blindsided in so many ways. And the enemy would convince us, man, there's nothing to be excited about in this season. Christmas songs don't even do it for you anymore. That's because most of the Christmas songs are predicated based upon something that's earthly, something that's temporary. But you need the real Christmas song, the Christmas song that declares the favor of God, the Christmas song that points us back to the faithfulness of God. So in this season of Christmas, I want us to be a people that say, you know what? In spite of all the things happening this year that have happened, in spite of the difficulty, in spite of the hardship, in spite of the loved one who won't be at the Christmas table this year because unfortunately they passed away, I will still bless the name of the Lord. His praise will continually be in my mouth because he has shown me favor and because he has been faithful, because he has been good, and because he has been merciful. Come on, somebody. Because he has showed up, because he has loved me, because he has cared for me, because he ultimately sent Jesus to me as proof of his love and as proof of his mercy, I will bless the name of the Lord. I will give him praise. I will give him grace. I will return grace with grace. I will return kindness from God with kindness back to God in the form of my worship, in the form of my praise. So right where we are, just as we're standing, I want you just in this moment to just have a moment of praise and worship right now with God. We begin to shift our attention from what is natural to what is eternal. Where we no longer base our joy upon things of this world. But no, our praise and our joy is based upon who God is. His favor. His faithfulness. Thank you. you're watching online, this is an awesome opportunity to begin to create a space of worship for His favor over your life, for His faithfulness that He has shown you. Come on, this Christmas season, let it be about the favor of God. Let it be about the faithfulness of God. Not gifts under a tree, not shopping, not songs, not movies, but about the love and the mercy of God in Christ Jesus. For your favor today. We thank you, God, for your faithfulness today. God, we sing a song of praise and adoration simply for who you are and for all you have done. And we give you worship and we give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ, the only name that matters, the name of Jesus Christ. The gift sent down from heaven to show your favor and to show your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. Church family, if you're here watching online, if you're in person, and you don't know Jesus today, never ask them into your heart, I want to extend the opportunity for you to receive Him as Lord, to receive Him as Savior. He is the gift of God. He is the favor of God. He is the faithfulness of God. And God is saying to you today, when you receive my Son Jesus, the gift that I sent you, you will receive eternal and everlasting life. You will receive love. You will receive my mercy in a way that you've never seen it before. You'll receive salvation from your sins, past, present, and future. So if this is you, online, in person, you're saying, Pastor, I want to give my life to Jesus today. I want to say yes to Him. I want you to say these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you came to earth to save me from my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for your favor. Thank you for your faithfulness. In your name I pray. Let the church say amen. 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 Come on, church family, put your hands together right now. For every single person who said yes to Jesus today. And I want us to know, before we go, that in this season that is very strange, you may have asked yourself the question, how can I sing a song of praise in the midst of a pandemic? How can I praise in the midst of a pandemic? Because our praise is not based upon circumstances. It's based upon God's favor. And it's based upon God's faithfulness. And if God has been favorable to you in this season, which I believe he has, that's your reason to praise. And if God has been faithful to you in this season, which I believe he has, that's enough for you to praise him. Amen, somebody? That is your praise in the middle of a pandemic. Because it's all based upon the favor and the faithfulness of our God. And as we prepare to be dismissed, as we go throughout this Christmas season, I want you to cherish this word in your heart. We're going to have our Christmas Eve experience in a few days. This is the one that I really believe we need. We need Christmas, but we need this pre-Christmas. I think we need to get our perspectives in alignment. Because what the enemy majors in, because he knows he can't destroy your destiny, because he knows he can't destroy the purpose of God on your life and the plan of God on your life, what he tries to do is to distract you from it. So because he can't destroy you, he wants to distract you. Because he knows if he can distract you, he can steal your praise. If I can take your eyes off of the one who is good to focus on things that aren't good, then you won't praise him anymore. But I believe that today is a spiritual alignment where God is saying, I brought you here today because I wanted to shift your perspective off of the things of this world, off of the brokenness of this world, that your eyes would now be fixed back on me. This is why the writer of Hebrews says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, finisher, perfecter of our salvation. Because when that happens, when we shift our perspective, it brings up in us a place of praise. When our posture changes, our praise begins to change. And I believe that I'm looking at some of us in here today, that you got to the place right now after this sermon, after hearing this moment of preaching and declaration of God's favor and faithfulness over your life, that you will go out of here saying, no longer will I focus on the things of this world in this season. I will focus on the favor and the faithfulness of our God. So we're going to prepare to be dismissed. Ariel is going to come up and close us out. Can we bless God for God's favor and God's faithfulness in this season? Come on, church family, we can do better than that. Come on.
Amen. Man, that was a powerful worship experience. I believe that whether you were watching at home, you felt the same power that we felt here in this building. Amen. I'm not the only person who felt power in the middle of that experience this morning. Man, I was just thinking as God was just ministering, just feeling, you know, you can feel heavy and you can feel the weight and you can feel like, I don't know how much longer I can do this, whatever this is for you. And this is different for all of us, but you may have gotten to the point. I know I've been at that point this week, last week, a month ago, of I just can't do this. And one thing I just felt God saying in the middle of that moment is just that when you're doing this on your own, then you can't do this, right? Whatever this is, when you're doing it in your own strength. And that just means, like, I'm just doing it in the way that I think is the best way to do it. Whatever that is, that's me doing it in my own strength. But when I stop and pause and say, Lord, have your way. Jesus, take the wheel. Lord, do it in your own way. He gives us this extra portion of patience, of ability, of whatever it is to get you through your this. And so I hope that moment was just a reshifting of our focus on that I can't do this by myself. But if I put it all in God's hands, God can take my pain, my dysfunction, my disorder, and he can organize it in a way that accomplishes not only this, but that too. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm just thankful for that. If you made a decision today to follow Christ, I believe it is the best decision that you could ever make in your whole entire life. And it will set not only today on a new path, but it will change your life. And we want to celebrate with you. So if you text I decided to 94,000, our team will send you all the steps on how we want to run alongside you and help you to walk in this decision that you're making right now. I also want to remind you, you still have the opportunity to give, and we can do all of that online. And I'm excited to see you guys back here for Christmas Eve service. Amen. Not physically in person, so don't show up here, but online we'll all be here together. Amen. So let's just pray. Let's pray and close this out and prepare our hearts, dry our eyes so we can see clearly as we drive home. Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for meeting us here, for being here with us and reminding us that we don't have to do it on our own, that you have been faithful, that your favor is all over us, that we are dripping with your favor, that this year has been a year that you have crowned with your glory, and that you are here with us in the middle of it all, Lord. So we thank you for that. We pray that you just continue to wash us in your love, continue to wash us in your favor as we go into the week ahead, Lord God, and as we prepare to celebrate you this Christmas. We love you, Lord, and it's in your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, family, have a great week, and we look forward to seeing you back here on Christmas Eve.